And welcome to Political Hitman here on Israel News Talk Radio. My name is Howie Silberger. So pleased to be here with you. I'm glad you could take the time out of your day to join me. And we're going to talk about something that I think we have to talk about. The New York Post, just a couple of days ago, labeled Montreal, Quebec, Canada, as the most anti-Semitic city in North America. Now, I have strong connections to Montreal, Quebec. In fact, at the moment, I'm broadcasting from Montreal, Quebec. And the idea that Montreal is the most anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish city in North America doesn't hit me very hard because I actually believe it's true. I've lived through much of what the New York Post is citing as proof of this anti-Jewish sentiment in Montreal. So I figured we'd take a little bit of time to understand how Jews in Montreal are very, very much in danger. So let's take a look at the first thing. Since October 7th, 2023, when Hamas terrorists entered Israel and killed 1,500 people, hatred in Montreal, the city with the most amount of Jew hatred in North America, according to New York Post, Jew hatred in Montreal increased by an astounding 670%. In fact, attacks against Jews in Montreal outnumber attacks against any other minority group anywhere in North America. Now, this is kind of weird when you think that Canadian Jews account for 1.4% of the nation's population, and yet they were the victims of over 70% of religious-based hate crimes during the time period after October 7th till today. 70% of religious-based hate crimes in Canada were committed against the Jewish community of Montreal. Now, Jewish schools have been shot at. Montreal universities, particularly Concordia University, have been trashed. McGill University had a terrorist hangout. They had an encampment, a terrorist encampment. And their encampment turned into a jihad camp where they were teaching jihad over the summer. It is so precarious in Montreal. The situation is so precarious in Montreal that synagogues have spent tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars to protect themselves and their people and their population, and have basically built fortresses around their buildings. Let's go through a list of some of the things that happened in Montreal since October 7th, 2023. A Montreal Jewish school for boys, a yeshiva, was shot twice. Now, I have a personal connection to this because I work at that yeshiva, and that yeshiva was shot twice, and the bullets passed my window on both sides. Another Montreal Jewish school for children as young as grade one was also hit with bullets. A Molotov cocktail was thrown at a Montreal synagogue. A Montreal Jewish community center was firebombed. Another Montreal area Jewish community center and another synagogue were firebombed. A Montreal Muslim cleric spoke at an anti-Israel rally and called for God to kill the Jews and spare none of them. Scores of Montreal Jewish businesses have been targeted for boycotts, threats. There have been graffiti. There have been Nazi swastikas. Last week, at an anti-Israel pro-Hamas rally, Nazi swastikas were flown at the rally, and the Nazi salute was given to Jews, and one lady yelled at Jewish protesters, Jewish counter-protesters, that the final solution is coming to them. That lady happened to own a coffee shop, or a couple of coffee shops, located in the kosher Jewish General Hospital in Montreal, which means that she had access to food that was being served to Jews in a hospital. And she was calling for the final solution of the Jewish people. Thank God the hospital, the chain Second Cup, the coffee chain, decided to end her franchisee license immediately and decided to throw her out of their franchise. So she no longer owns the franchise at the Jewish General Hospital. Now, I'm not here to fearmonger, and I'm not here to say that Jews in Montreal are more dangerous than Jews anywhere else, because the reality is that Jews anywhere in North America or anywhere in Europe are in grave danger right now, too. But I am here to say that it is starting to get recognized that Jew hatred in Montreal is the most out of any city in Canada. And I would argue that Jew hatred in Montreal, Canada, is higher than Jew hatred that you'll find anywhere else. Attacks against the Jewish community have been every single day in Montreal. Just over the weekend, a car drove by a synagogue, and the occupants of the car were yelling "Free Palestine" and some other epithets at the synagogue, at the people in the synagogue. Now, this doesn't surprise me that the Jewish community is being attacked. It's not shocking. It's not shocking because the old adage and the excuse that is used all the time, that I'm not anti-Jewish, I'm anti-Israel, I'm not anti-Jewish, I love the Jewish people, but I hate the Zionists, doesn't hold water anymore. Doesn't hold water at all. The reason it doesn't hold water is simply because if it was an idea, if these protesters were protesting against the state of Israel, the protest wouldn't be at synagogues. They wouldn't be at Jews. They wouldn't be holding up swastikas and yelling at Jews that the final solution is coming to them. That's not where the protest would be. If this was anti-Israel, the protest would be at the Israeli embassy or the Israeli consulate. It would be against Israeli officials. Perhaps a protest in front of of some kind of Israeli display. But that's not really what's happening. What's happening is the protests are in front of synagogues, are in front of Jewish institutions that have nothing to do with Israel. And the violence is against the Jewish community as a whole. The violence is against Jews, not against Zionists, against Jews. The targets are Jews, not Zionists. So if you're going to tell me that this is all about anti-Israel and all about the war in Gaza or whatever other excuse you want to use to say that I'm not an anti-Semite, I'm not a Jew hater, well, you're lying to yourself and you're lying to me. The people out there protesting, the people screaming and yelling, the people jumping up and down, the people attacking the Jewish community in Montreal and other cities around the world are doing it because they have an excuse to attack Jews. Because the Israeli war, the war against Gaza, the war against terror in Israel, the war against the genocidal murderers that attacked Israel is an excuse for Jew haters to get out and show how much they hate Jews. If you ever wondered, if you were ever curious and ever wondered, never thought about history, and this is why history is important to be learned. If you ever wondered about history and wondered how the Nazis managed to get the general population out there to kill the Jewish people in Europe, and how they managed to get these people, to get an entire continent of people riled up enough, flared up enough to go and murder Jews and to view Jews as inhuman, you're seeing it happen again. You're seeing it happen right now. This is what's happening around the world. Why it's manifesting in Montreal, the Quebec government in Montreal, the Canadian government, the Quebec government in Canada, the province of Quebec, wants to bring in more French people. So the only place they can find French people is in Arab-French countries. Arab-French countries that don't really like the state of Israel, that don't really like Jews too much. They are the ones who expelled the Jews. They're the ones who threw the Jews out of their country when Israel was created. They're the ones who said, hey, you now have a Jewish country, go there. So those people, they imported problems, third world problems, into the first world. And the Jewish community is suffering for it. Now, what about Jewish leaders, you ask? How do Jewish leaders respond to this? The problem is that the Jewish leadership has been relatively silent. The problem is that leadership of other communities have been relatively silent. We're going to take a little break. I'll be right back. I'm Howie Somagren. This is Political Hitman here on Israel News Talk Radio. You could call in if you want. Number to call, 1-877-669-1292. You can get in on the conversation. The leadership of the Jewish community have been relatively silent. The Jewish community has been relatively apathetic, except for throwing money at it. They've been relatively apathetic. There have been no mass protests of Jews in the streets. The leadership of Canada, have been supporting the protesters. The leadership of Montreal have been supporting the protesters and the attackers on Jews. They have done nothing to stop the attacks. Not the federal government, not the provincial government, not the local governments. In fact, after a relatively violent riot at Concordia University, where the university's lobby was trashed yet again, and chants of kill the Jews were heard in the streets, the mayor of Montreal, Valerie Plante, got up at a press conference and said she didn't feel that the protest was anti-Jewish. She said people have a right to express their opinion, and yelling death to the Jews, apparently, to Mayor Plante, was not an anti-Jewish act. Canada is one of the countries in the world that have laws against hate speech. They have laws against inciting riots. They have laws against inciting hatred. They have laws against inciting genocide. Yet for months and months and months, over a year, they've allowed people to stand in the street and yell, globalized intifada. We're starting to see the results of that. We're starting to see the globalization of the intifada. When Jewish schools are being shot at, when Jews are being attacked in the streets, when Molotov cocktails are being thrown at Jewish institutions, when synagogues are being firebombed, and clerics, Muslim clerics, are allowed to get up and yell, God should kill the Jews and spare none of them, these laws are not being enforced. Nobody has been charged with inciting genocide. Nobody has been charged with inciting a riot. Nobody's been charged with anything. People who attacked the Jews are not even arrested. In fact, the Jews are arrested in Toronto, Canada, just last week. Ezra Levant, who owns Rebel News, confronted protesters on the street. They were yelling, death to the Jews. In fact, one of the protesters brought an armchair and recreated the final moments of Hamas terrorist Yahya Sinwar. He sat in the chair was filled with blood. They recreated the final moments of Yahya Sinwar, glorifying a terrorist, idolizing a terrorist. And when Ezra Levant stood there on the corner, he was called an inciter. He was inciting, they said, and he was arrested for incitement. One second. The people glorifying terrorists, the people standing there and yelling globalized intifada, the people yelling death to the Jews, that's not incitement? But a man standing on the street corner is incitement? I don't get it. Rabbi Adam Shire of the Shar Shemaim Synagogue in Montreal was standing on the street corner over the weekend drinking coffee when suddenly he was approached by a police officer. The police officer said to the rabbi, you have to leave. The rabbi said, what? What am I doing? Why do I have to leave? Police officer said, there's a riot or a rally or a protest coming up the street. It's a pro-Hamas protest. It's a pro-Palestinian protest, they called it. And you standing here on the street corner with a kippah on your head is a provocation. So you have to leave. So we've gotten to the point where Jews standing on the street corner looking Jewish is now a provocation. The people walking down the street yelling death to the Jews is not a provocation, but the Jews standing on the street corner, whom those people would kill in a millisecond, that's the provocation. That's where the trouble is. The Jew has to move. The protesters don't have to control themselves. The Jew has to get out of there. Creating a situation an atmosphere where Jews are living in fear, where Jews are living in a state of shock, in a state of fear, knowing what happened less than a century ago, and realizing it could happen again at any second. I said it before and I'll say it again. After the incidents that have happened in Montreal and in Toronto and in other cities across North America, Jews that are living in these cities have a problem. How could you possibly go to a supermarket and stand in line with 100 other people standing in line, knowing that these people could turn on you at any second and murder you and wouldn't even feel bad about it? An atmosphere of Jews being inhumane, being subhuman, is being created again. And the Jewish leadership has remained silent for the most part. And the world leadership has remained silent. No condemnations. Nobody getting up and saying, we stand behind the Jews. Just silent leadership, silent politicians. And the Jews left to flounder. I'm Howie Silberger. This is Political Hitman. We'll have to take a little break. We'll be back just after this. I'm Howie Silberger, and this is Political Hitman here on Israel News Talk Radio. It's a scary situation. We are living in a scary situation. Jews are petrified. Synagogues have guards standing in front and locked doors. They are the only houses of worship that are forced to lock their doors and not allow all who want to come worship to come in and worship. It's lists of members and people having to register to do anything. And the worst part about the whole thing is that the Jews are the victims, and they're being portrayed by the media and by the politicians as the villains. Even Israel, who was defending themselves against a genocidal attack, destroying the entity that attacked them, as any normal country protecting their citizens would do, even Israel, the victims, 1,500 people murdered in one day, are being depicted as the villains. And the world is buying it up. The world is accepting it. The world is saying, yes, Israel is the villain. It's not true. And if you don't watch the media and you actually look at the situation that's happening, you will realize immediately that it's not true, that the rhetoric that is being spewed is not true. Why are the Jews being attacked in North American streets? Why are the Jews being attacked? It doesn't make any sense. There's no logic behind it, yet there's no condemnations for it. I'm told that we live in a society where discrimination is frowned upon. I'm told we live in a society where racism is frowned upon. I'm told we live in a society where equality is held up as a beacon of hope. I don't see it. I don't see it. I see it for everyone but the Jews. And yet again, the Jews are now always the exception to the rule, and not part of the rule. I guess as a Jew, I should accept the fact that this is our fate, that this has been the same for generations and generations, century after century. And our sages tell us that, you know, enemies will rise every generation and try to destroy us, but we will prevail. And I guess this is the enemy that's rising to try to destroy us this generation. But at the end of the day, we have to survive. We have to fight to survive. And the Jewish community, in North America at least, is not doing what they should be doing to survive, to defend themselves. They're not teaching their children self-defense. They're not standing up and being strong and saying, we're not going to take this and we're not going to allow this to happen. They're not holding their politicians accountable. The Liberal Party of Canada has been running the country for years. And they take the Jewish vote for granted, that Jews will vote for the Liberals, for the federal Liberals. Even though the federal Liberals have done nothing to protect the Jewish community, have done nothing to try to stop the scourge of Jew hatred that has plagued Canada. They've done nothing at all. They've sat on their laurels. In fact, they've fanned the flames of hatred. Erwin Kotler, former Justice Minister of Canada and world-renowned human rights lawyer, has a fatwa on his head from Iran. They want to kill him because he spoke out against the Iranian government. He is under 24-hour surveillance, protection. The government's protecting him 24 hours a day, and they just foiled an assassination plot against him from Iran. And while I'm happy that Dr. Kotler wasn't killed by those assassins that were sent from Iran, it's interesting to me that knowing that these threats exist, there's been no concrete action taken by the government. There have been no condemnations. There was no international incident. They just accepted the fact that a foreign government sent assassins to kill a Jewish politician or former politician. I guarantee if Dr. Kotler were black or Italian or any other nationality aside from a Jew, there would be much more of an uproar. But because he's Jewish, his life is cheap, like every other Jewish life. Jewish life isn't worth anything in North America. Nobody cares. If a Jew gets killed, nobody even blinks. If a Jewish synagogue gets attacked, nobody even cares. There was a mosque that was attacked a few years ago. There was a shooting in a mosque. And every year, politicians flock to that mosque in Quebec City to commemorate the shooting of the mosque. Recently, we passed the anniversary of the shooting of our school. It was shot twice in a week, 4 days apart. One shot, then another shot, 4 days apart. Thankfully, nobody was killed at the school. But to mark the anniversary of the shooting, there were no politicians. There was no fanfare. There were no reporters. A few days after the anniversary of the shooting, the police wanted to hold a press conference in front of the school to say that before the holidays, or just after the holidays, they were going to step up patrols in the community. But not even a mention of the fact that the school was shot twice. When the shooter was arrested, they found the shooter, they arrested the shooter. The school wasn't even informed. And the people who shot up the school, the newspapers didn't even cover the story. Because it was a Jewish school. And nobody cared. When the school was shot, the children of the school, it was an elementary school and a high school, so kindergarten to grade 11, the children of the school weren't offered any social services. The CLSC, the local government didn't send counselors to alleviate the fear of children whose school was just shot. It was just figured. They're Jewish kids. They're used to being attacked. Just leave them alone. That's what they did. Any other incidents of a shooting, of a mess, of a building, of a school, there's always counselors sent in. There's always psychiatrists or psychologists or grief counselors or whatever that needs to be sent in. Not in this case. It's a Jewish school. Who cares? Jews will get over it. They're used to it. Now, you may think I'm overreacting. You may think that I'm just talking because for the sake of talking. You may think that what I'm saying isn't true. And that's fine. You could believe that. If you wish to believe that, I don't ask you to believe a word I'm saying. But what I want you to think about, though, is that if you're one of the ones who are protesting or one of the ones that are calling for a globalization of the Intifada, or you're the kind of person who believes that all Jews are responsible for everything that happens in the state of Israel, then you should really reevaluate your life and your beliefs. You should really look at yourself and try to understand where it went wrong. Why you are holding a full nation of people responsible for the actions of a government or for the inactions of a government. Why your political ideas justify violence against other people. We're supposed to live in a democracy. We're supposed to live in a place where a free expression of ideas, where you can believe what you believe and I believe what I believe. And if we don't agree with each other, well, that's too bad. We could just look at each other. We could argue with each other. But when violence turns political, when political turns violence, excuse me, then we have a problem. Then we have a major problem. When politics turns violent, then we no longer live in a free society. When one side, when one people have to hovel in their buildings with security guards and police protecting them, then we no longer live in a free society. And if you are not one of the ones who are hating, then you are going to be the next target. It starts with the Jews, but it always moves to somebody else. How do we stop this? That's the question that's always asked me. Every time I do a show like this, the question asked me is, how do we stop this? How do we turn the tide? I've said for years that you can't take the ideology away from a people. Meaning that when Nazism took over Europe and the non-Jews in Europe, the Germans who wanted to kill the Jewish people in Europe, were trained to kill the Jewish people, to view Jews as subhuman. When Nazism ended, that ideology just didn't disappear. It didn't dissipate. Just because the Nazi party was defeated and Hitler was dead didn't mean that the ideology that they taught the children, the ideology that ran that country for nearly a decade, over a decade, just disappeared. It didn't happen. The people who were indoctrinated in that ideology still believed in that ideology. The people who were Nazis and who believed in Nazism and believed in the tenets of Nazism still believed in the tenets of Nazism even after Nazism died. It doesn't just disappear. It doesn't just vanish. And those are the people that continue to perpetuate the kind of hatred that still exists today. They taught it to their children. It passed down from generation to generation. And Jew hatred still exists today. It's irrational. It's illogical. But it's still around. And it's around because it's being taught. Nobody's born as a hater. Nobody's born hating people. It's a taught thing. You have to teach people how to hate. It's not inbred, it's not ingrained in a baby, it's not ingrained in DNA. So this is taught, this is a learned behavior. And how do we learn it? How do children learn what's acceptable and what's not acceptable? It's by what adults accept and what they don't accept. So when 1,000 people or 2,000 people run through the streets yelling, kill the Jews, or in Sydney, Australia, gas the Jews, or in Spain, Hitler didn't finish the job, and nobody says anything, and nobody does anything, and nobody stops these people, then the message you are sending to the next generation is that this is acceptable speech. And if they listen to the words, and they understand the words, then the message you are sending the children, the next generation, that the words are true, and that they must be carried out. This is how you indoctrinate people. This is how you create situations that lead to genocide, to holocausts, to mass murders, to dictatorships. This is how you indoctrinate a whole generation of people. So if you are one of the ones who are sitting around and not standing up and saying something, if you are one of the ones who have been quiet and said, that's somebody else's problem, it's not my problem, you won't believe how quickly it's going to become your problem. We are all responsible for each other. All sane, rational, normal human beings are responsible for each other. If we don't stand up for each other, if we don't talk about it, if we don't fight it as brothers and sisters and cousins and friends, then we will see another Holocaust. We will see another genocide. We will see more war and destruction. We will see the globalization, the continued globalization of the Intifada. We're already starting to see the beginnings of it. Synagogue bombings, Jews being beaten in the streets, school shootings, Molotov cocktails thrown at synagogues, Jews being attacked for the simple case of being a Jew, kosher coffee shop owners telling Jews that the final solution is coming for them. This is the globalization of the Intifada. This is the beginning of the continued war against the Jewish people. It was quiet for a while. Not really. But now it's springing up again. Stronger than ever. Bubbling up from the brook. And those who remain silent are complicit in it. Those who remain silent are as guilty as those yelling and screaming and attacking. Apathy is acceptance. And that goes for Jewish leadership. That goes for political leadership. That goes for regular people on the street. Now is not the time not to be involved. Now is not the time to be quiet. Now is not the time to step back and say it's somebody else's problem. Decent human beings have to get up and say, enough is enough. We're not going to take it anymore. This is not the society I want to live in. Decent human beings have to hold their politicians accountable. Decent human beings have to get into the street and say, this is it. It's not in my name. Not in my country. Decent human beings have to shut it down. If you fail to do that, then you're just one of them. I'm Howie Silberger, this is Political Hitman on Israel News Talk Radio. Thank you so much for joining me. I do appreciate it. I will be back next week with another edition of Political Hitman here on Israel News Talk Radio. You can always check out the Israel News Talk website at israelnewstalkradio.com. Till next week, I'm Howie Silberger. Have a good one.